Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have another praise to share. One of the families that Tammy and I have been praying for and supporting, when Ruth was here, a dentist that went to Africa, and now she's serving in Central America and Honduras. Tammy and I had an opportunity to go out to supper with her, and we went out to supper with her, and we asked her, is there anything you want us to pray for? Any? And she mentioned the Inuez family that was trying to go to Thailand, and she said they were on her heart, and she wanted us to pray for them. So Tammy and I ended up supporting them and prayed for them, and they were in Honduras, and they were trying to raise support to come to the United States so they could raise more support so they could go to Thailand. So they raised some support, and there were some churches and families up here that started supporting them, but they couldn't get a visa. They tried three times to get a visa to come to the United States. So they were pretty heartbroken that they couldn't come to the United States to get the support they needed to go to Thailand. Well, support just kept coming in and kept coming in for them, and they were able to study English because they said it's easier to go to Thailand if they know English than Spanish. So the year that they were waiting, they learned English, and the enough support came in, they were able to go directly from Honduras. And I just got an email this morning with their first newsletter from Thailand talking about what was going on for their family in Thailand. And I think it was a husband and wife, and I don't remember if it was three or four children, but they just went over to Thailand to serve with the group of UB that are there. I think there's two other families from Honduras that are there serving. So real excited about that. To see that even though the plans weren't the way they had it, God intervened and found a way to get them over there. So super excited for that. Today is going to be a follow-up to last week's sermon on prayer. This one's going to be a little more, last week I said it was kind of a shotgun message. It's kind of scattered about prayer. This week's going to be a little more focused. We'll kick off with prayer, and then we'll jump into the sermon. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I just stand in awe of you, the things that you do for us, the amount of love that you show us. Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this beautiful weather, this time that you've given us to fellowship together. Lord, we're thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful for our community, and we're thankful for the outreach that happened a few weeks ago where the community was invited to a picnic. And Heavenly Father, we hear of several families that are open to talking about church and to talking about Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we know there's a need for you, there's a hunger for you in our community. And Lord, I'm thankful for those that put that together so that our paths would cross, our neighbors and our friends that maybe we don't normally get to see, but we were able to that night. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your works. I thank you for your continued love that you show us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In thinking of this week, we're only looking at two scriptures this week. Last week we were kind of jumping around quite a bit in the Bible. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. But when I was thinking about prayer this week, I was thinking there's a couple types of prayer. One type is, a defensive prayer, that you are scared, you're asking for God for help. More of a defensive position that you're asking, which is fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but there's times that we're hurting or we know somebody that's hurting and really needs the Lord's help, really needs that support. Then I also think there's an offensive type of prayer, a prayer that you're asking the Lord to empower you, to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to go do a task for Him, to go into the community and get out of your comfort zone. And so we're going to look at that type of a prayer today, one that kind of gets us out of our comfort zone, kind of to fill His mission. You're going to go above and beyond your strength. You're going to go on the offensive. That's what we're going to kind of look at today. Of course, I feel like we can't talk about prayer unless we jump into Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into a room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, our Father will not forgive your sins. So we see in here what Jesus is talking about. The hypocrites that are praying in front of people, that they just want attention. It's not really for that relationship with God. It's they want to impress their neighbors. They want to impress their friends with their prayers and their many words. So he's really cutting through that because Jesus wants a relationship with us. It's not a show for other people. He wants that relationship with us. So when you break down his prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He started with the example of giving God the glory. Yes, he has a personal relationship and we have a friend relationship with him, but he's also the God of the universe, the creator of everything. And so he's saying, start with that praise when you pray. To praise God and give God the glory and the honor. Essentially, you're acknowledging that he's up there and I'm down here. So verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, we're giving God the glory in this prayer. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. So Jesus' example is also letting God know our needs. We have needs. There's things that we don't have that God can provide for us. So Jesus is showing us, praise God, and then also share our needs. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There I see that in, lead us not into temptation. We're asking for God to protect us. But more than just protect us, deliver us from the evil one. Because he knows we're going to be attacked. And this leads right into our next scripture we're going to look at. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I wanted to go through 1 through 31, but that's an awful lot of reading for this morning. We'll summarize it. We'll hit some highlights. Here we have disciples, Peter and John, verse 3. Well, they were proclaiming Jesus, and they were seized. It says, because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. So was Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that is the man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind to which mankind must be saved. So they were being confronted by miracles that were happening. People that were getting healed, the rulers of the time didn't like that. Verse 21 says, after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David, our father. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Think of this time. The rulers of that time crucified Jesus. During this time, other followers of Jesus were getting persecuted by the Romans, by the Jews. Stephen got stoned to death. You know, we know that the disciples, a lot of them met horrible fates at the end of their life, the way they were killed. So they knew things were going on and they were getting persecuted and Jesus was crucified. They knew the threats that were on their own lives. And instead of being scared and going hiding, they were still proclaiming God. They were still proclaiming Jesus to their community. They were still healing. I would almost say they didn't care about the persecution. When you read through their prayer, what does it say? Verse 27, indeed Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. So they're acknowledging that God is powerful and sovereign over all, and nothing happened without God's approval. So they're acknowledging that Jesus wasn't just killed and taken from them, that God had allowed this to happen for his purpose. Verse 29, I love this verse. Now, Lord, consider their threats. So they knew there's threats on their lives and things that could happen. He said, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Isn't that curious? They're not asking for protection. They're not asking to be taken away from these threats. They're doubling down. They're saying, Lord, give us boldness to go speak. So they're almost like saying, Lord, I know we spoke the word, they heard the word, they're mad about the word. Give us more boldness so we can speak it more. We can get louder. We can get more authoritative. Give us your boldness, Lord. Verse 30. Stretch out your hand and heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So again, they're not asking for protection. They're not asking to, Lord, let us just do this in secret so we're not upsetting the rulers. They're getting more bold. They're getting more empowered by the Holy Spirit. After that prayer, after they prayed, the place where they're meeting was shaken, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Can you imagine that? Having your life threatened one day, and then you're going back to talk to your fellow believers and you're praying with them. When you get done asking for boldness to go speak the word, to go proclaim the word of God, the meeting was shaken, and you're all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for us this week, that we would have that courage to pray that prayer, that we would ask for the boldness to go speak. We know it's not our strength when we go out in our community and talk to our neighbors and our friends. Most of us would rather not. You know, most of us have comfortable time with our own little circle and our own friends, and we're pretty comfortable. And sometimes we don't like meeting new people. We don't like going out. Some people don't like us because we're Christians. But God still says go out and to talk to those people. Go out and proclaim that word to his people. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the persecution that you'll receive, because they're, even though they might be persecuting you, they're persecuting God's message. But we're still to stand for God's message, and we're still supposed to give that message. So my prayer this week is that we could go out in boldness, be on the offensive, and ask for God to give us the words to speak, because there's times that I know I've been in situations that I'm talking to somebody, and I'm like, well, I should say something. Well, I should say something. Well, then I get in my car and I go home. I'm like, why didn't I say something? I knew I should have said something. The Holy Spirit was even prompting me to say something, and I didn't have the boldness to do it. I pray that we're filled with that boldness in the Holy Spirit as we go out, and we really seek the Lord and seek his closeness, and to open our eyes that we can see others how he sees them and to love others how he loves them. I'd like to close by getting the music guys up and sing God of Wonders again. And we'll close with that. And they thought they were getting away with just three songs.
Hey, Darryl.
Yes.
Before they start, would you lead us in the Lord's Prayer?
Sure. All right, bread. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us ourselves, forgive us our debtors, as we forgive us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Power and glory forever. Amen.